Hello, everybody, and welcome to the, what is today? The Wednesday, May 3rd, Pony Sync. We got a full house for what we know we have here, so that's pretty awesome. Let's dive right into our first order of business, which is RFC number, well, I don't know the number, but it's pull request 88 in the RFC repo, the more persistent collections RFC that Theo opened. It's been in final comment period for a week. There were no additional comments. So at this point, we're ready for a vote. If I'll give everybody a minute to review it in case they need to refresh their memory, and then we can go ahead and have a vote. So everybody take a look. We need like, we need some music to have during the spot for the folks who are listening.
That would be good.
You know, for the like the one we're not saying anything, we can just kick off a little thing so that folks playing along at home aren't like, wait, did I hit pause?
The worst of all worlds.
Who's he calling?
Oh, yes. All right. Okay, well, the Jeopardy music ended. I guess that means it's time to vote.
Time to merge.
I couldn't sleep real well last night, and I woke up early. And so when I wake up early, I usually start working. And so I've been working for a long time, and I didn't get a ton of sleep. So I might be Loopy Sean today, as compared to Loopy Sean on other days. Anyway, all right, Andy. We're voting.
Yes.
Yes. Sylvan.
Oh, hell yes.
Theo, are you in favor of your own idea?
Yeah, I guess.
I like that it's slightly noncommittal. That's good.
All right. Okay, we only need one more person to say yes. I'm going around according to my gallery view in Zoom. Gordon.
Yes, I approve this.
All right. Theo, you wanna hit the button? Boom. I'm assuming nobody has a giant objection, right?
No, it's good. Just as a quick comment on Theo's last comment there, on the thingy, I think accepting an iterator is a good idea, and but I think also including union intersect etc. is a good idea. I think probably as some other RFC in the future, we should try and standardize our collection API across as much as we can.
I think we have an issue for auditing right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. There you
go. Yeah, I'm still like I don't think we should not merge it. I see it's already been merged, but I'm still a little bit like I don't know what we're gonna do when we finally get dependent types merged and that has the vector type. Because it's a very different sort of data type in this context. So we might have to rename one or the other.
Yep. That's true.
But that could be done in the future.
Yeah. One of the core problems there is computer scientists and their blatant...
I was really hoping you were just going to stop it. One of the core problems there is computer scientists.
Well, yeah, like I said in the comment, it kind of sucks that programming languages widely adopted vector to be resizable array when... mathematical vectors are fixed size.
It's just a blatant disregard for physics that I feel should just not be acceptable. But there we go.
I was having a conversation the other day about how I just generally have a blatant disregard for physics.
Woohoo!
No, not really. Just sort of, maybe, kind of, a little bit. Thing. Okay, let's go to some PRs, shall we? Let's start with 1880. That was a really nice year. Lots of things happened. This will fix a Funky Bob crash. I'm gonna call it a Funky Bob crash because that's kind of fun.
Nice one. Wow. Wow, that's impressive. Oh, yeah, merge that. I I like that the fix is so simple as well. Or what seems like a very complex edge case.
Okie dokie. 1879. Also a good year. Came 1 year before 1880.
Lies. Oh, lovely. Nice fix, too.
Oh, it needs to be Joe, can you rebase and push 1879 because they both touched Bad Pony CC?
See, that's
yeah,
silly.
See, they both added a test case and so can't figure it out for some reason. All right, I will do that and merge it asynchronously unless anybody has any issues.
Okay, cool. So let's discuss 1876 real quick.
Was it a good year?
It was a damn fine year, I'm telling you.
Wait a minute, what does this need discussion for?
It doesn't. Okay. I just thought it might be good to go over it with some folks and whatnot.
Okay, cool.
So 1876 apparently closes 1, 2, 3 different issues, which is pretty
awesome. The word is awesome.
Pretty awesome. Yes, wait. 1, 2. Yes, 1, 2, 3 of them. They're all the same thing. I need to go back through and add some comments and put like a real commit message on this before it gets done. But then with that and the two ones of Joe's that we just looked at, we can kick off a release for that. Pretty much, basically, what was happening is inside the hash maps that make up everything, which is the Pony runtime. And if you haven't looked at the Pony runtime, the hash maps make up everything. There's hash maps everywhere. It's basically just a Lisp that manipulates hash maps. Would you agree with that statement, Sylvan?
Yeah, there's like a couple of atomic operations, but other than that, it's hash maps.
Yeah, in Lisp. We're using a Robinhood hash. What's interesting, Sylvan, I find actually, is that these problems predated that, which is kind of interesting. Right. But at this point, we're using a Robinhood hash, and it has certain guarantees that are held around how you do probing in order to be able to move stuff, still find it, etc. And when you're going ahead and doing after you've swept as part of a garbage collection step and you've removed items from the hash, there's a period of time during that where the normal invariants of the hash do not hold to be true. And so you go through this step, which is currently not particularly well named, which we, in another commit, we can go ahead and do. And it's called optimize and optimize item respectively, where you optimize the entire hash and it optimizes individual items. And pretty much what it basically does is it puts the invariants back into place. Now, the amusing part is if you happen to be looking right now at 1876, you'll see that there's a comment, a four-line comment on 136 to 139 that I deleted. This is the actual bug here, which was we're fixing our broken invariants at this point, but the assumption was made that the invariants held true. And so what was ending up happening was we were getting null back from these hash maps because the invariants were ending up not being right. And even though items were correctly in the hash map, we weren't able to find them. So this else block, which is added afterwards, handles the case that could possibly come up where the invariant has been violated. And then we can go ahead and we fix it up right there. And that fixes three issues that look like GC issues, but aren't, because it wasn't that the GC was busted. It was that the things were actually in the hash that, like, for the object map for these actors that were getting GC'd, we just couldn't find them.
So probably not, but is there an automated test case that could be added for this?
So Sylvan and I, when we were trying to solve this, we wrote a test case for it. And the test case is the test case was not able to trigger it. What we talked about at that moment in time, and it was really sad, and I put this as a comment on the issue as well, is that if we had the property-based testing for the runtime, we could have triggered and found this bug.
Oh yeah, I was just about to ask about that next. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But
it definitely seems like a good place for that property-based testing to be.
Yeah. So
fuzzing those hash maps.
Yeah, so yeah. This was I was never able to in the reproducible cases. So the hash maps start at like a size of 8, and then they grow. It goes like 16, 32, 64, and I never saw a case where this would get triggered at less than 64. So it had to go through a number of steps before it got to the state where this invariant violation that we weren't handling would be triggered. Like Sylvan and I went through and we took one of the hash maps and we went through and we found every single item that was in it. There were 17 of them, and we tried inserting them all into a hash map. And if you just do it like that, everything works out just fine. You'd have to, we still don't know the sequence of events that would happen in order for it to end up in the state where it would be a problem. But we do know that it's because of this. If you were to remove like some stuff, it would work out fine. Yeah. So,
yeah,
there we go. It was a fun time, a wonderful group effort between Sylvan, Dippin, and myself. Good stuff. Okay, so I am gonna get that up. It'll get merged sometime in the next, by this weekend, so that I can release it this weekend. So we still have just to comment it real quick, we have 1858, which is the Bear methods in Bear lambdas one. Joe went ahead and approved that. That looks good, but we have some how to teach this stuff that needs to come along with it before we can merge it. Let's check out 1853. This is the ROC require programmer to implement network failure. I don't know. I haven't had a chance to look at it yet. Has anybody else?
I have not. What this does essentially is adds a connect failed implementation across a bunch of implementation of the TCP notify.
I don't think this is what the
and the difference is that there is no default implementation for TCP connection notify for connect failed. So it says you're going to have to do something when the connect failed. That's what it is. The same goes for not listening. When you get a not listening, you have to take action because there's no default implementation of it. It just does none.
Right. No, but so there, the connect failed already existed, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, it's adding an implementation of connect failed across a bunch of TCP notify implementations. It looks good.
I love that I had to ask that question of you about the RFC, which I wrote. Where I'm like, I don't remember. Does connect failed exist or not? Right. So, fail action. Let's go through here real quick.
And it looks good.
Extra space.
There is a to-do in there, but I think it's an acceptable to-do if we want to let it go through.
So that being the one in server connect handler?
Yeah.
So what's this one in TCP connection though? What? Oh, that's in the documentation. Yes.
Yeah.
That's in the documentation, and
GitHub actually does a surprisingly good job of color coding the snippet, of syntax highlighting the snippet. It's pretty good.
Okay, and he fixed some formatting and some documentation. Okay, that's good. Connect failed, ignore, blah, 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 blah. Boom. That looks. Boom. I'm almost at the end. Checking. Doom. Extra space at end. Added. Can remove in post. I'm seeing a couple formatting things that I'm gonna fix after the merge. A number of them. But I can basically open a file in Sublime and save it and life will be good. UDP socket, is this in documentation? Yeah, line 25, that's documentation, right? Yep. Okay. Yeah, that looks brilliant. Alrighty. And away it goes.
Hooray.
And that's a breaking change, which means that I probably should have waited till the other things. So issue, this will be, instead of being 13, it will be 14.0 when we do the release. So people will at least have some idea that we broke some stuff.
Yeah.
I'll leave that other one open. Okay, trying to get through more pull requests today. This one we still looks like actually we're through. Oh, okay. So 1844, right? Somebody dropped on and said they merged LLVM changes needed into Alpine, and are we interested in integrating PonyC into Alpine itself officially?
Oh God, yes. That's awesome.
I don't know what that means exactly. I mean,
that means that Alpine would have support that. So the stuff that we've been talking about how distros could support mm-hmm. itself, they're offering to do that.
Oh God, yes. Oh God, yes. If that's what they're,
I believe that's what they mean.
Okay, you wanna ping and ask and then say if you're
that's for it.
And then we love you. No. I meant you.
Oh, okay.
I meant you. Because things. Sweet. Okay, so you're adding that. And then I guess what are we? We still have open questions on this, right? Or no?
The Alpine stuff?
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's some stuff that Dippin asked of you, right? That I think would be good for you to follow up on.
I didn't see that.
Well, it sends you both emails, and do you ever check the little timeline thing that GitHub has?
I didn't know there was a timeline.
So if you just go to github.com, right, when you're logged in, it'll show you your personalized timeline of things that you're involved with, and you can see the comments and everything. It doesn't show you when somebody like force pushes something to a PR or whatever, sucks, but it's still got a vast majority of stuff. And if you're somebody like you who doesn't ever check your email, it would probably be quite handy for keeping up on things.
Awesome. Oh, this is great.
All right, so you know about this now, so we'll move on and you can respond to different. I'm leaving the needs discussion during sync just in case you forget, and we'll see it next week.
All right.
And nope, okay, on to issues. We have 10 minutes here, you can see. Boom, oh, that's a new issue. Okay. Let's start with, Paul created one. Let's go backwards today from newest to oldest. So 1883, says method type arguments incorrectly shadow class type arguments in structural subtyping.
Sorry, I'm... Can you give me the number again? Sorry about that.
1883. It's the year that Columbus sailed the ocean blue.
Is it?
Yes, it is. Learn some history, boy.
1883?
Yes.
Zombie Columbus came back from the dead to... get back on his boat.
This is a nice poll bug. Excellent.
I also see that Paul formats his code with four spaces. Shame, Paul. Shame. two spaces is the right and proper Pony way.
Well, we can't really say that until we have that style guide.
Ooh, true. Very true.
That's a burn.
Who wins that one?
It's a burn on everybody who hasn't written this stuff.
Yeah. Plus, the proper white space also has a white space on it.
Oh, God, not this conversation.
I will say I have been working on a style guide. So
cool.
By next week.
Oh, my God. Awesome. Oh, my God.
I had to think very hard about a lot of things.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some discrepancies in the standard library. So, yeah.
While we're on that topic, am I the only one who likes to put who doesn't put a space before the question mark in method signatures?
I think so.
Yeah, I think so.
Because I was thinking about that in relation to the explicit partial call RFC and how question marks will soon follow the calls. And we're probably not going to put spaces after the calls in those cases.
I agree with that. Yeah, that's very interesting. This is one of those stupid conversations, but I'm going to get involved in it anyway. I'm such an idiot that I would put a space in the signature and not in the call, and that's just utterly hypocritical of me.
No, it's not.
Well, it is.
No, it's not. You know why? You want to know why it's not?
Because you'd do it too.
No, because we don't have a pony format command, and you did one of them before the other one, and you don't want to manually go through and find every single question mark that's in the method signature and remove the space.
Yeah, but we should be...
I'll volunteer.
There you go.
Oh, God. Okay. Okay. No, I'm just imagining what that's going to do to get commit history, but, you know, we should get a... I would like to. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No, I'm not going to say anything.
Well, the partial calls thing is going to wreck like everybody's code base ever.
It's gonna wreck everything, and that's great. That's good.
Yeah, I'm a little bit trepidatious about going forward with it, but I know it's the right thing to do.
It will probably be a while from the time that hits Pony C to when sentence upgrades to that. We still haven't done the call chaining yet.
Paul, you've nailed this, Paul. That's the bug. You've described why the bug is happening. That's completely right. Yeah.
Ready for work.
Ready for work.
Bug, ready for work. Difficulty.
Cool.
What's the difficulty?
Medium.
Medium. Boom.
Requires some type system expertise, but isn't like some crazy runtime insanity.
Is this one that when it's fixed, do we want to do a release, or can it wait around to the next release?
It could wait around. It's fine. It's not a pressing thing. It's a, oh, wow, that should work and it doesn't, as opposed to that shouldn't work and it does.
All right. So next one is issue 1882. That's the year that Columbus sailed the ocean blue. This one is also from Paul.
This one's probably very simple to fix, but I don't know that context.
That's awesome. How does it?
I think it's probably because it, the the actor has stuff that returns none, or none is involved somewhere, and but it's not actually getting marked as reachable.
Yeah, for sure, it's a reachability issue. But I'm wondering if.
So if you look at the link in the comment, it points to the assertion, and it's like the compiler has hard coded like gets the type descriptor for none.
That's hilarious. That's got to be my fault. There it is, right there. Line 773.
Which would be fine if we unconditionally marked none as reachable, right?
Yep, which is fine. We can do that. We can, when we set up, we can just immediately mark none as reachable. And that's the right fix.
Can you put a comment and then I can make it ready for work?
Well, I actually already put this comment 25 minutes ago.
Okay.
But my question was, I'm not sure, like, I'd like to add a test for this, but I'm not sure if, if it's possible to do a code gen test in library mode, which is why I asked Benoit in that comment, but,
interestingly, this is only used in a couple of places. So this wasn't actually me, it looks like. Sorry. A code gen test for this?
I generally like to do a test when I fix a bug so there's not a regression.
For sure, but I think we can use... Oh, I see. It requires library mode in order to be... Of course it does. Oh... How interesting. Yeah, so that's trickier than I thought it would be.
Yeah, I mean, doing the fix is easy, but the test is
slightly tricky.
But I'll get Benoit's input, and I'll just assign myself to it, honestly.
Okay, cool.
So I'm going to assume that 1881 is the same as 1882. Would that be correct?
No, it's not the same.
No. Oh, good. Oh, that's great. Okay, hey, Sylvan, why don't you look at 1881 and then feel bad about how badly library mode works?
Okay.
I think what we have right here is signs that library mode is not used very often.
It's in gen header.
Yeah, I did this, the header, it opens the extern block and there are like two items in it and then there's nothing else. It's while it's writing out the header.
It's calling a bit fun. And it's not a function.
Here, I'm going to go ahead and drop a comment for the generated header before it dies, okay? Header generated before death is... Okay, added. This is where it gets to. And it goes
couple. Yeah, that makes sense. That's the default. That's the initial junk that it throws in. So it somehow we have a reified function that it then thinks is not a function. So that's gonna take a little bit of debugging to figure out what the heck is going on there. But the stack trace there is perfect. It tells us exactly where to look, which is nice.
Okay. So we're half an hour in. Before we continue on through other issues, let's open the floor up and see if anybody has anything they would like to discuss. No?
Go for it.
I had 1807, which we talked about last time. I think it's fairly simple to fix just the union flattening to take into account constraints. But you talked about removing flattening completely or making it only syntax-based. So in that case, there's no fix needed for this.
I think if you've got a fix for it, we should do that now, because removing flattening entirely is something that we're not sure exactly what the right approach is to that. So if you have a fix, it would be awesome if you could put it in.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we want to remove flattening, but there are possible negative consequences that we need to audit first.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so I'll fix that. So we have it fixed in the meantime.
Fantastic.
All right, I added you to it, Paul.
Cool.
Trying. Damn it. Oh my God. GitHub hates me. Okay. All right. That's that. I'm gonna blame that on bad UX. Progress. Boom. Okay, awesome. Any other stuff? I had a thing, but I don't remember what it is now. So
the only thing that I've got is that I'm still working on the ISO to val issue. That's what I am spending all my time on.
You made it sound like it was going to be so easy.
I thought it was.
Dun, dun, dun. Dun, dun, dun. Oh, is it because of that thing that we found when we were talking about it?
It was.
Yeah, that makes it hard, come to think of it. See, yeah. See, I remember that. Yeah, that's not going to mean anything to anybody, and we'd be here for 40 minutes. To explain that. So, okay, if nobody has anything else, let's... boom, yes.
Okay. I just thought I'd give an update on LLVM4.
Cool.
I have finished doing the type-based alias analysis update, and there's a couple more bugs on Windows in code generation. So I'm still working very slowly on that stuff.
Awesome, that's fantastic.
So, yeah, I apologize for not having a whole lot of time to work on it. But.
No. Thank you so much for spending the time that you do have on it. That's the way this goes. And that's fantastic. Thank you.
Did I miss sync last week?
Can't remember.
Because there are these things they say that were discussed during sync last week, and I don't remember them being discussed. And they still have needs discussion during sync tags on them. So I'm trying to remember. I did miss it, I think.
Yeah, I think you did.
Yeah, okay. All right. Let me go through these ones here. Wait, looks like this was also... okay, so... really quick... 1798, with the comment that you left apparently during the sync last week. Sylvan, does that make this a ready for work?
1798.
And what would the difficulty be?
Yes, medium.
Okay. Housekeeping. All right, this one also, perhaps. It's marked. Okay, this looks good. So this one came in, Sylvan, just I'm not sure if you saw it or not. Paul, triage it, looks good. If you have anything to add,
1875. Oh, yeah.
Difficulty on that can be lowered to medium, probably.
Yeah, I think that's medium rather than hard, although it's darn tricky. So I see why you put hard on it, but yeah.
I think what needs to be done is move the loop from the top level to the bottom level of the recursion, if that makes sense.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it does. I think you're right.
I tried, but I'm not familiar enough with that that I broke half of the standard library when doing that.
Yeah. That's going to happen, trying to fix stuff like this. It's not that it should. I'm not saying that the goal is to break out of it. It's that there's going to be all kinds of crazy edge cases on how to set this up properly.
Yeah. I need to have like a better look.
Cool.
Do you want to add a additional little comment about that, Paul? And I'll leave it as needs investigation still, but then
yeah, sure.
Maybe somebody else can come take a stab at it. I'll remove the needs discussion during sync. Until we get this fixed, I don't think we're going to have the Haskell people coming in. I'm assuming there was a Haskell person because the thing that they sent was that's from the Stack Overflow or something where they were trying to do monads. So
it could be any of a collection of interesting functional languages.
So go ahead.
Nope. I was gonna make another jackassy comment, and you were probably not going to, so you should go.
I was going to say something about green space. No. Paul, you're talking about moving the loop to where? Just so I know, I might take a look at it if.
To the refi type param ref function. Okay.
All right. Yeah. If you just add a comment to that effect, I'll take a look at it. I might assign myself to it. But yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's do a little housekeeping on 1864. That's the year before the American Civil War ended.
Hey, wait a minute. No fair giving real dates.
The first American Civil War. I hey.
Careful. No. Nope.
Listen to Andy.
We have a whole history in front of us.
All right. Oh, son of a. That should not fail.
Well, your comment from last week was this looks like it may have to do with flattening union types.
Indeed, it does. Yep. That's almost certainly.
So that would be needs investigation and probably.
Yeah.
I wonder if it's right related now. To the ticket that Paul just picked up, where we want to use a different subtype strategy for
constraints.
No, I guess it wouldn't be.
So. It could be, of course, but I don't think so.
So needs investigation and anything else? Do we know? Just needs investigation right now?
Yep.
Needs investigation. Okay. Issues. We have more. Oh, create style guide.
Oh, I didn't know there was an issue for this.
Yeah, there's an issue for that. 1775.
We can assign Theo to it.
Yeah. What happened in 1775?
The year before the Declaration of Independence?
Hmm. Would that be the? Is that the tea party?
Eh, probably.
Okay, let's see. We got some other ones here. Benoit is not here, so nope.
I think we're going to be in the future years soon.
I know that. Then we're going to really start having some fun.
The year of the first drone war.
The first what?
The first drone war.
What's that?
Unpiloted aircraft
fighting each other, no humans involved.
Is this projecting ideas into the future, or is this from some sci-fi thing?
Well, let's just move on.
Okay. Okay.
An excellent call.
Okay. 1711. Apparently, he does have Live Unwind installed from GCC 6.
1711.
1711, 1719. Look, there's some ones. There's a seven. There may or may not be a nine.
Oh my lord! So the unwind.h header is supplied by GCC 6 instead.
So it is a GCC 6 issue, possibly, but aren't people building GCC? I'm so confused.
Aren't we using GCC 6 when we do the Travis things?
We are.
So then, well, okay.
Because there's an AR-64 specific GCC unwind header. Oh, that's lovely. That's just what I wanted to see.
Oh, is there?
There is. That is in the zip file that he sent.
Oh. Does it have a different name, or things named differently for some reason?
It's an entirely different approach to AR-64 unwinding.
Oh, okay. So we can rename this as
Pony C to AR-64.
Pony C to AR-64. From looking at the live unwind that you supplied,
wait a minute, here's a struct unwind exception. Whoa.
Okay, I'm not typing anymore.
I'm fabulously confused. It's saying unknown type name unwind exception. Oh, how exciting. It appears to be something slightly simpler than I expected. It appears to be that they have not type deft struct unwind exception as unwind exception in the same with unwind context. This might be solvable if figuring out by providing those type defts.
It appears to be that they haven't type deft struct unwind exception and struct unwind context, right? Yes?
Yep.
This is probably solvable if we provide them when the arch.
This seems to be true also in the x86 version of the GCC6 thing, which confuses me a little bit, at least based on the header files he sent. I just said he. I have no evidence that's a he. The header files this person sent.
Yes. But then I would think that...
It's confusing, but...
So there's also always the possibility of... I mean, it's GCC6, but we don't know where the GCC6 came from. We don't know what distribution it is, what changes they might have made, etc. You know, so that's fun.
So I think we okay. I think there's a slightly simpler thing that might be able to have to be happening here. So we actually use struct unwind exception in some places in except.c. And we don't include the struct name in certain other cases, particularly POSIX except.c line 51, which is an inside a platform is ARM.
I think you should write the comment.
Okay. I have a, yeah, okay. Yep.
Okay, I'm updating another one while you're doing that. I'm updating which issue is this? 1756 to be support GCC7. Because that's the issue. It's that GCC7. We don't work with GCC7 right now. And so we would need to do that. Enhancement. Ready for work. Somebody can go add support for GCC7 if they want to.
Excellent.
Excellent, indeed. Okay. All right. You haven't added your comments yet. Theo. Theo is on that one. Boom, boom, boom. I think that's the end of ones to get through right now, which is good because we're basically at that point.
Excellent.
More or less. Oh. Everybody sure they got nothing? Zeep, zero, zilch.
Yeah.
We could come back to discussing that little style point about the partial calls.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, so is the main complaint that it's going to cause a lot of code base churn if people go back and remove the preceding space for the question mark in the method signature? Or is it aesthetically better for other reasons, or what?
I think the reason that I've used the question mark, to be honest, is driven by cases where there's an ephemerality annotation on the return type, either a hat or a bang. Mm-hmm. And I find it very awkward to have bang question mark or hat question mark is the core reason that I've personally sort of adopted that, because in other cases, having the question mark right up next to the type really seems fine. There doesn't seem to be any particular problem with that.
Okay.
There's also the issue where if it comes right up next to the type and the type ends in a reference capability, it looks like it's the reference capability as opposed to the type as a whole that is somehow question marked to my eye, but maybe that's just me.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah,
I just did all of the things that Sylvan talked about, and I think each of his statements rang true for me as well.
Yeah, I agree.
I like it. I actually like it without the space for everything except for like with the reference capability. But actually, for the like the bang or the hat, I don't think it. Yeah, it doesn't make much of a difference. The one thing I would be worried about with the bang and the hat is people wondering what is bang question mark mean as compared to what is string right. bang and then question mark, right? That I think that would be from a new person learning standpoint, that could be a little confusing.
So would it make sense to say, because really the argument I was using for squishing the question mark up to the its predecessor was that it was closer to the partial call syntax where it's probably going to be right after the parentheses. So would it make sense to put it, if there's no explicit return type, put it right after the parentheses squished up against them, or, and then if there's a return type, have the space, or is that like using tabs and spaces in indentation?
So if
there's no return type at all, just put the question mark right up with the spaces. That looks okay to me.
Well, I'm just wondering, is that too inconsistent to be a problem?
As long as we have a Pony format tool that'll make my stuff look like however it's supposed to, I don't care that much.
Yeah, well, okay, so just coming back to that for a second, I have recently been working on, AST-related tools in Pony, and that would obviously kind of be a next step from there, if you have tools that can parse and dump ASTs from source in both directions, then you could kind of do that configurably for a format tool. So I just wanted to mention that I have spent some time working on that. I kind of stopped for a while because the source code I was working with had really, really long compile times, and I kind of went back to the compiler to see what I can do to speed those up. And I haven't really sped them up enough to my liking yet, but yeah.
Okay.
It comes back to that issue ticket I filed about large unions being a problem. Because especially like the fact that, and this is why we talked about maybe removing type alias substitution, because if you have like type A is, X or Y or Z, and it goes on, for maybe like 20 different types, or for the case of an AST tree, it could be way more than that. Way more types that are possible there. Then everywhere that A is in your source, it substitutes out that large union, and then it also, every time you're comparing against that union, it's doing a comparison against each one of those types over and over again, not sort of caching or being able to re-leverage comparisons made in the past. I also tried an experiment with a subtype cache, so like every time you ran is subtype, it went into a hash map and said, "Have I done this before?" And
right,
it was not really an improvement in performance. Like I think it made some cases worse.
Okay,
than you might expect.
Yeah.
Anything else, I guess, or?
I just put up I couldn't be arsed to write a comment for number 1719, so I put up a PR that I think fixes it.
Oh, well, let's look at the PR, shall we?
It's 1885.
I could have sworn there was an 1885. I thought that's the one I made the stupid Columbus joke about earlier.
Probably.
That was several days that you made the stupid Columbus joke.
I said the stupid Columbus joke about, not the good Columbus jokes.
Oh, right. I had a hard time distinguishing between the two.
Yeah.
That's just cruel, man. That's just cruel.
So the issue appears to be that there are ARM-specific libunwind headers that provide a typedef struct unwind exception, and same for unwind state and unwind context.
Which issue is this supposed to be for? Which issue?
It's for 17.
Oh, 17. Can you test this PR and see if it fixes 17, 19? If this passes, do we want to merge it, or do we want to have him try out this PR first and see if it fixes?
Ideally, it would be great if it could be tried out first.
Okay.
Yeah, the CI won't really mean anything in this case because the only changes are within an ifdef platform is ARM, and we don't have any CI for ARM. So.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I just figured, you know, that we have it passed. Okay. I'm slapping do not merge on it. Thanks. Boom. Okay. All right then. I tagged him on it. I guess we're done.
Unless anybody has any clever ideas for me for speeding up the compiler performance in the case of large union tests.
So, is it large union types of the subtype test, or is it large union types that are being used for constraints?
It is so there's almost no constraints involved. A lot of the code is not using generics.
Yep.
It came down to two places. One of them was flattening. Which I did test a little bit with a branch that just, you know, did flattening at the parser and didn't care about subtype relationships and union flattening. And that did help a lot. The next big issue came up in basically in reification. If I remember correctly, it was trying to, in cases where you have like this arrow union type, I think was the main.
Oh yeah, this arrow union type. Oh boy.
And that was happening, you know, and that kind of happens all over for things like accessors.
Absolutely. Constantly.
And it's happening. It happens over and over again for the same union type.
Yep. And it's going and building a rather large AST somewhat unnecessarily.
Yeah. Lots of allocations that, and sometimes you don't even care about the this arrow part of it. Like maybe you just could have gotten by knowing what the final, I don't know. Like it seems like we're doing that reification process in a lot of places where we don't necessarily care about the result. Some of the reified things that happen. I don't know how better to put that. But.
Yeah. So, ooh, that's quite interesting. So that's the viewpoint adaptation code. Because I was thinking it's is x sub union or is union sub x, and I was thinking, yeah, it has to check all the cases, but that should be really fast. There shouldn't be any problem there. But now that you explained that it has to do with the viewpoint stuff, that makes perfect sense. One possibility is that we might not have to go and generate those types in order to do that type checking. We could probably write code that could type check directly against that arrow type rather than creating a new AST to represent essentially a tuple of the possible types, if that makes any sense, which is what a lot of that viewpoint reification stuff does.
Yeah, I mean, you either need to carry back information, like you either need to go down and do the viewpoint adaptation and carry back information that you need for the comparison without doing any allocations. Like maybe you just bring back some like tokens corresponding to the upper or lower bounds of the cap or something like that. Or you need to go down into the viewpoint adaptation with an idea of what you're trying to like compare against and carry that into the function with you, and then just do the comparison directly at that level recursively or whatever you need, and then come back up with just the result of that comparison rather than the fully adapted type.
Yeah.
Which gets either case, I could see kind of, I don't know, depending on, I'll take a look at it with that in mind, but I could see it getting quite complex with like a lot of code duplication or, I don't know.
Yeah, okay. So that's why I went originally with this admittedly kind of half-assed approach of creating these reified things.
So I hate to do this, but I need to bounce and end this and cut y'all off.
All right.
So I have a meeting to get to.
Thanks, everybody.
All right. See you next week.
Bye.